It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly Obvious, it's clear as can.
The Blindly Obvious podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. All views expressed on this show do not constitute professional advice. We make no representation or warranties regarding the accuracy, completeness, or applicability of the content we express. These are merely our opinions, and as such, we encourage everyone to form your own opinions.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. Today we are talking the conversation of a big fib. And what I mean by that is, you know, you got your old wise tales, you got your stories of, you know, Jeff likes to tell a good fishing story of caught something 10 times the size of the nothing he actually got on the water. What about even this? I mean, we have the, you know, stories that are more mythical or magical, right? There's different, you know, we'll throw Disney in there, stories that we all grew up on of Pinocchio and Cinderella and all of those types of things, right? That are not necessarily fibs in totality, but more of a magical just myth. What do you think, Jeff? Because there is good, there's magic in a good story, right?
Don't we all like a good story?
Yeah.
When people stretch things and make it a little more fantastical, it sounds better. You know, I do love fishing, and I try to never fib on my stories. And to keep me honest, I take pictures of the fish I catch.
Yeah, those are probably AI. Put that into chat. Hey, make this look three times bigger.
They predate the AI era or error, however you want to look at that. But no, it was crazy. Now we have reached a place where you almost can't tell. I'm seeing all these videos of children riding the back of crocodiles. It's like, what is this? You know it's not real.
You know it's real based on the fantastical thing that's happening, but can't tell that it's not real based on how it looks.
Yeah, the animation looks legit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you got to be kidding me. So you can't believe your own lion eyes.
Well, and truthfully, the exaggerations into a story make the story a good story, right? As far as, you know, let's say on the news channel, they're gonna take the story, spice it up a little bit in order to kind of create that juice, that fire in you up, or that emotional finger poke of whatever direction they may want that to go. And there's probably going to be some truth in the story, of course, but then some exaggerative detail that sells the story on a much higher level.
So you're saying, are you suggesting that sometimes the media tells big fibs?
Yeah. Yes, I am. I am suggesting such a thing. But man, don't we even in our own lives, if we're telling a story about something we did, sometimes over-exaggerate the details a little bit, just like you said, a good fishing story, just to make this, I mean, there's the story itself is true. The details of what exactly happened may be stretched out a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. I try so hard to make sure I can't say I'm always successful, but I try so hard. Now, you can make a story better by leaving out details because it lets people fill in blanks and you can say, well, I didn't fib,
mm-hmm.
right? But
you also intentionally left out those details so that people would fill in the dots.
And they're going to lie to themselves about the story. So you never said it, but so I've seen all those techniques that people use and whatever. It's like, that's shady. No, I try and just let Slim it be shady. What it is. But you know what? Honestly, all of us have enough that's happening in our lives that it really is fantastical.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is really so much better anymore than even the best fictitious lie. Honestly, I believe that. I think that we all could tell some stories here where we would just be in awe of what God is doing in our world around us with no exaggerations, just the truth. And be blown away. You don't have to have a lie to be entertained.
I think what's amazing, though, is that's a great way to go there, is when you hear people's testimonies of God's movement in their lives, the same fantastical elements exist.
They're there.
Wow, yeah. What a great and inspiring and awesome, fantastic story. But it's true.
Right.
The details haven't been exaggerated.
Yeah, and instead of leaving you angry or upset or, you know, jaded, you're encouraged and you're
inspired
and you want to go do something good and be an agent of good where God is going to use you for somebody else to have the same experience.
Hmm.
Did you see, I just was scanning the news. I didn't click it. I don't know what's going on. I thought it was just, this is stupid. This is so dumb. And I don't want to name the news agency, but it was this, I'll read the headline. It says, is a Manhattan-sized rock in space an alien ship hurling towards Earth? And I was like, come on, man. And I finally clicked it this morning. It's like, I like sci-fi. I'm gonna check this out. They gave all these, from a physicist, reasons why it's not an asteroid or a giant space rock. And I don't know, but here's what I do know. We have reached a new place of crazy in the news. As I look at everything, this is crazy. I mean, I don't know if it's AI. I don't know if it's a straight up lie, which is the same thing as AI. I don't know if, it's someone just twisting, which I've already given you three. That's probably what, 70 to 80% of the news right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No doubt.
Like when I say a twist, is it just spin with a little bit of facts with a huge distortion?
You know what it takes me back to, man? It takes me back to that when Obama gave that speech at Stanford, and he was talking about how through operations, if you can basically flood a nation's public square with so much raw sewage, eventually no one will know what to believe.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what it is.
We are in
such what it is.
A crazy place, man. Like, I mean, is there a news agency or a news anchor that you go, you know what? I trust them.
In its entirety?
Yeah. No. You don't even have a question mark when they speak. You're like, no. Yeah, I believe you.
But I would preface that by saying that, like, that's also true about my own self. I don't entirely trust my own self. And what I mean by that is we can all get caught up in our own biases, right?
Oh, yeah.
Our own preconceived notions of, oh, this is exactly how this works. I know exactly how it happened, X, Y, Z. And then you come to realize maybe just a little while later that, oh man, I didn't have that figured out at all.
Oh, like, okay, here's a great example. Like on Sunday, I shared in that sermon with Jesus sharing that one will be in the field and one will be taken. And everyone used to think, or still probably does think,
like, man, I want to be the one that's taken.
Taken, right. But you actually read that the one that's taken is destroyed.
Just like in the Noah. Days of Noah.
Yeah, it's like,
and then
whoa.
It's reiterated again where he says it will be as it was
right.
In the days of Noah. But it's like when it's pointed out to you, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Like it really is blindly obvious, and once it's pointed
exposed.
Out for you to see.
It's exposed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like your point so head on, dead on. It's somebody can give you a suggestion before you hear information, and that simple hypnotic suggestion is enough to sway your bias and create a bias, even where there wasn't one before, and now you believe something that's false, even though the truth was right in front of you.
Sure.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, it is.
And it happens every day in our news.
Absolutely. I think it genuinely happens every day in our lives, though.
We just don't perceive it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's, I obviously didn't always have that perspective, but I've kind of come to like, man, how could you trust all of these people? And I'm not saying all the people out here who are giving news are intentionally being misleading. Some are, certainly.
Sure.
But some may just be acting on their preconceived biases, and then they tell the story from the lenses in which they view the world from.
Well, the cool part is I've listened to Tucker talk about that. Tucker Carlson says, you know, there were certain positions he wouldn't even consider because they seem so ridiculous back when he was a paid news anchor for whatever news agency, because he's been on many.
Yeah.
And he's like, it was true the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Your point is absolutely made. There are paid actors and there are workers for the company who have a script and they don't know.
Just oblivious fools, pretty much.
I'm just going to read the teleprompter.
Exactly.
You know?
That's what I get paid to do, right? It's here.
Right.
This is the news. They gave it to us. Let's tell everybody else about it.
In his defense, there was a time when there was a respectability to news and it wasn't propaganda.
Well, also there wasn't until here recently, and I'm not saying nobody did this, but as an overwhelming majority, there really wasn't that poke or that pullback of the curtain per se to even incentivize you to want to look. You would just, oh, well, there it is. We've been told that's what it is. We got it. All right. And it all made sense until it started not to.
So what do you do with that? Because here's to me, as I look at this and I see the not just distrust. I think the distrust that we have is founded. Like, it's legitimately, you should be distrustful.
Yes, but it also at the same time, we got to say that, like, the level of distrust has reached unhealthy proportions.
Absolutely.
At the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Bible tells us a day is coming of deception. It's not going to be like a localized or regional deception. We're talking a global deception. There's a movement of it. And I was on the way here for the podcast going, is that what this is? Like, are we seeing that kind of unfold? Because I don't see the brakes being pumped yet.
Yeah. There's probably both at the same time, right? There is a global deception taking place, but at the same time, there's this global pulling back of the curtain that's taking place as well.
So, oh, that's a valid point.
Yeah. So then in the midst of, there's like this global deception that's probably in some facet always been there, right? More behind the scenes. And now this global deception is much more out in the open as it seeks to continue covering up the curtain pullback.
You got this wave of evil that's moving in. And it seems as though, I don't know, I can't say absolutely, but it seems as though God is coming in with good as well. And it's clashing. So as that's come to new heights, you've got good coming to new heights. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And the same thing with truth and lie. You've got...
right, they're both going to new heights.
You got the curtain that you didn't even notice there was a curtain, but now it's blowing in the wind and you're seeing the man behind the curtain pulling the levers and it's like, what's that?
if we could give President Trump credit for anything in his legacy, he has been the person that's made you look. He's caused this unconventional way of pulling back that curtain in some ways, and as well as pulling out those hands that have been deeply tied, but behind the scenes.
He seemed to notice, and he got criticized for this in his first term, for sidestepping the corrupt media, which... again, we just addressed, they're all corrupt. It's become obvious. They all twist and lie. And began using his own social media as a place to release news.
Mm-hmm.
And so it actually came out that what he wanted to be shared, he shared.
Right.
And I heard somebody else say this, and it's true. That guy has news briefings all the time. It used to be like, oh, a special announcement today from our president. And it was like, you know, once every 6 months or something.
Right. This dude's like,
once a week.
Yeah. Sure. Sometimes multiple times a week. Yeah. But you're exactly right. He created directly to the people consumer content.
Yeah.
To where, now, I'm not saying the media companies don't take and run with that and try to spin it in their way.
Oh, sure, sure.
But if you choose to just listen to what he said, he then eliminates the ability for that to happen. Now, you may not agree with what he said, but you actually have the opportunity to hear it directly from the horse's mouth.
Uncensored, right? Mm-hmm. Uncut. That was the big problem, is that they took, we found this out, they took such liberties that they could make you sound like you're smarter than you are, previous president candidates, or...
they could pull you down and destroy you if they saw
fit. Right,
make
you look dumb. Mm-hmm. And it's either way. So yeah, we are just in such a weird place. Like, how do you source truth?
I think ultimately the only thing we can do in terms of truth sourcing is to put our trust in Jesus, right? It's the only form of truth that has always stood, and it never changes. Like I said, we believe we have these answers only to find out, like, oh, either I didn't have that story right at all, or I had pieces of the story, but I was missing these elements that I didn't know I was missing. In a Christ-centered relationship, leaning on his word and into his relationship gives us the foundation for what truth really is, and it never moves. Now, we move from it,
right?
Because we drift away, but then we can always go back to that firm pillar that has never moved once.
How many times does a person have to lie to you, whether on purpose or they just get swept up in a situation and come and tell you a fabricated story all the while believing it to be true and later say, oh, I'm so sorry, I got deceived. How many times, whether it's on purpose or accidental, does somebody have to come to you and tell you a lie as though it were true before you stop believing them?
Yeah, there's probably a, that's a multifaceted question because if we're being honest, we all lie, right? At some point we all have lied or will lie again. Now to the significance or magnitude of what that lie is, I do think makes some difference.
But yeah, motives, right? Talking about motives. Yeah.
Like maybe, I didn't tell you we were doing this weekend because we had a surprise birthday party planned or
right.
Something to that effect. Okay, we would call that pretty insignificant white lie. Or, I told my kids that Santa Claus was real and then they found out, maybe he isn't. We'd call those more white lies, right?
Right.
But then there's the, I told you this was safe and effective. But it turns out it actually is incredibly dangerous. Well, that holds much more weight and much more magnitude behind it, right? And even if you didn't know, that's such a serious equation that you should be darn sure before you're going to put your chest out there and demand it from others.
And it was demanded.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people's livelihoods were threatened, their ability to travel threatened. Or even blocked. Some were actually put in camps, not here in America, but they threatened that too, though.
Mm-hmm. Look at all the things that for a hot minute there you weren't able to do. You weren't going to be able to fly if you didn't do this.
Couldn't
you
get health care.
Get health care. You weren't going to be able to maintain your job in many cases.
Yeah.
I mean, some people literally did lose their jobs. If that were to come out or does come out, in some ways I would say already has come out, that, hey, this was not what we were told it was.
Oh gosh, get in line on that. There are things like, okay, there's the digital ID and there's how it's being sold here, but it used to have another name years ago. I think it was called the Real ID.
Well, that's what we have now.
But wasn't it back under Obama? But it got such pushback because people uncovered what they were really planning to do with it. They were saying, oh no, it's just to make sure that, I don't know, illegals can't vote or what. No, we've already got a system for that. That's not what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the whole thing is it came out with the, I don't want to name the three-letter organization, but overseas, one of those big conglomerate groups that steers all nations. They said that part of it is to control the people who don't get a poke. So if you haven't gotten your updated sticks, then you don't get to travel. You don't get to leave your home.
And I think what's scary about that is, to apply the next steps to it is very oftentimes difficult because they're not right in front of you at the moment, right? So to say like, in 5 years, they're going to try to do this, 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 and this with that. That's hard to see. And a lot of people are like, no.
Well, you got
to
reach. There's nothing you have.
Sure.
All you can really do is yourself put together puzzle pieces and go, okay, if I was dag nasty evil, what would I do?
I think a lot of people have actually a hard time thinking like that, which is a good thing.
If we would all play the character of Dr. Evil, you know, $1 million, you know, what would you do if you were a tyrant trying to control the world? And you had access to not just digital ID and the means to also digitize all currency. You had the means to selectively through smart meters turn off not only people's power, but smart tech like your phones, turn it off when you don't like what someone's posting or saying on their phone. Think of all the power. If you were to take all of these things, blockchain, all this stuff, bridge it all together.
You can easily see
the power,
the fundamental scaffolding of, will it be that way? Who knows, right? But you can easily see how easy it would be to connect it all and make it happen.
To put it under one system where if you're out of line, not only can we take your job, take your home, take your stuff, take your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you won't be able to buy or sell, do commerce. There's a Bible passage about that. You know what I mean? It's like, combine this with this level of deception the Bible says coming under this lawless one. I'm just saying, I know I'm reaching.
You can start to see a little bit, though, how people would be deceived into getting that mark that we're told nobody will be able to buy or sell without.
Yeah, because cause if you don't get it, you're not going to be able to have anything. You can't keep stuff. Tokenizing, I mean, that's the new word. They're going to tokenize everything.
Yes.
Look up what that means, folks. Mm-hmm. But my whole point is, there's why we're told they're going to do it. And there's what they're actually doing.
Right. It's like,
and it's not the same. And again, how many times does somebody have to lie to you before you go, that person's that group, that organization, that government is a liar?
You know what's disappointing is oftentimes the lie in the beginning is so darn good that by the time you figure out it was a lie, it's too late.
Yeah. The trap. Yeah, it's like that whole thing with the hogs, you know, how do you trap wild hogs?
I mean, let's go back to the whole safe and effective thing. If you made that decision to get that and you've had side effects or consequences as a result, which I'm not saying everybody has, I'm just saying if you're one of the people who have, what does it matter to you now that you know it could have been a lie? The damage is already done.
Yeah, if you had Guillain-Barré or whatever, all the many different things that happen to people, clots, blood clots, death. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've got this injury or death now. Now what, right?
Yeah, like what if you died as a result of this, what do you now care if someone, oh, you know what? It turns out we might have lied about that.
Oops.
Well, what good is that doing somebody who's dead?
Right. Or sick or permanently disabled. Or,
sure.
Yeah. Okay, so take it to the next level. And again, my hypothetical here, and they actually, Dr. Evil does this. He comes. You know, and he gives you the mark of the beast that he says, no, it's for your good. We wanted to put this chip in your hand or whatever this thing's going to be so that somebody couldn't steal it from you.
Sure. Well, and it'll be in the beginning, you'll be able to do so much cool stuff with chip in your hand. It'll blow your mind. You'll be able to open your doors, start your car, anything. Look up your banking information. Imagine wearing an Apple Watch, but you don't got to put it on.
I think it was some guy named William. William Fences.
Never heard of him.
William Fences. Yeah, it's another name for William, another name for Fences.
I actually was not following that at first.
William Fences, he was saying that it won't be long before the cell phone is actually embedded in your hand through a tattoo. Again, pulling all this stuff together. And we also saw what happened in Canada to the truckers just with what they did with bank accounts, with just one little facet of this. Imagine what
right there, you just saw that ability already exists.
Right.
So they don't need to add anything to the equation to make that happen.
Get out of line. Your car doesn't start. Your bank account's closed. Your phone doesn't work. So you're cut off from everybody. You can't even cry for help. And anyone who does help you, they shut their stuff off too. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
We don't even have to imagine. It just happened. Now, could you imagine it happening here? I guess you could say, all right, well, maybe.
Not in America.
We're probably the last form of.
We're the last free place.
Yeah, well,
and even
somewhat
that's,
free
and
place.
And even that's shrinking, right? Because we're so quick to give it away. Because why? We get duped into letting it go. Well, they promise safety, peace and safety, peace and safety.
Man, I know we've went over this before, that quote about Ben Franklin, and they asked him, is this a republic? And he says, yes, it is, ma'am, if you can keep it. And
they don't call it a republic anymore. They call it democracy.
Right.
We got to protect our democracy, Look it up, folks. Go back. Just go to your pledge. The last part of your pledge
to the
democracy
for which it stands. Mm-hmm. But what's so fascinating is, in some ways, these founding fathers, almost 250 years ago, I'm not saying they could see everything to the T that was coming, but they could see the actions and the results that would be taken if we lost this republic. And not only that, but the struggle that would be immediately ensuing to reclaim the ground that was lost. And as a result, the things they gave us and put in place, and some of them we've given away, some of them we still have, it's just fascinating of how brilliant these people really were to see around what was to come.
I think that's why people say they had to be led by God, because how could a man have seen these things?
You just couldn't, man. Yeah. Exactly.
But the cool part is, you're right. The everything that we need to kick off these tyrants, we still can.
Mm-hmm.
The Battle of Athens, look that one up, where people rose up in a little bitty town, saw corruption taking place, and took care of business. And that's just it. You can do it locally, but it can be done nationally.
I actually think doing it locally is the foundational difference of, if you start at your local community, and we're changing local communities all around the country, as a result, that's going to blossom into the state and national levels, right? I think we oftentimes try to work from the top down. Oh, if I could just change the top level of these people who I don't interact with, I don't see every day, I don't feel the immediate impact of their decision-making. They just rotate the characters in and out. To where if you made the true changes on a local level, you feel the immediate impact of the decisions that are made in your local level, right? So if those are being taken care of the way they should be, your society is just by result going to prosper.
You can see it. It starts in the family. It extends to your community, and it goes all the way to your country. The problem with local, the true reason I think people don't like to do it locally, is because locally means you have to do it personally.
Right.
They would rather vote somebody in or give a check.
I want to be able to say I did something without actually really doing anything.
With nothing at stake. Yeah, yeah. Yep, they're afraid of becoming the stake.
But even biblically, man, that's not at all what we're called. Once again, that's us drifting away from God's truth, because God's truth doesn't tell us to do that at all.
You know what it comes down to? It's we admire those men because they signed that document, the Declaration of Independence, which was their death warrant. But they put their John Hancock on there. And what people have to realize is, once more, we've all got to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, just imagine if it wasn't, thankfully, all it took was a few good men. But imagine if it was more than just a few good men. What if it was every man and woman said, no, we're going to reclaim our nation, we're going to restore it, and we're going to put it back the way it was intended to be, the way it was created to be, that every man and woman was created equal by our Creator. And that's where our rights come from. That's where our sovereignty comes from. Imagine what this nation would look like.
To your point, how many times does a person have to lie to you before you go, that person's a liar? On the flip side, how faithful and true does a person have to, how long, how much time has to pass after story after story, time after time, situation or crisis, whatever it may be, they repeatedly always tell you the truth and have never lied. How long until you finally say, they're telling the truth and I believe them? Because God has never lied.
Mm-hmm.
He promises never to lie. It's incongruent with his nature. When are we going to believe him and walk with him?
Now, will it always be in the way that I want it to be?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
But that does not mean that it's not being delivered according to his purpose.
Yeah, that's great. So where it comes into faith and believing is that, so I don't know how he's going to do it. I know what he will in his nature do. What I don't know is how it's going to take place, right? So sure. I have to believe whatever that is, it will be good.
And we get in trouble with the, yeah, I believe God's going to do it, but I want it to be like this. And our wants sometimes bleed into our faith, and we call them the same thing.
They're not.
They're not. Yeah, they're not. So when we are able to, not that it isn't difficult, but have that understanding and know, well, you know, what is that? God, not my will, but your will mm-hmm. be done.
Yeah.
When we can be satisfied with that and know that, God, I'm going because you called me here. I know you're going to deliver me. And I want it to be like this, but if it isn't, your will be done, because I know your will is going to deliver me to the other side.
I know you're good, and I believe, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I believe it's going to be good,
right,
if I trust you.
This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
Past the signs each day, in little things missed along the way, the symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious but out of sight. The magician's lie, a trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm. Blindly
see it, the roads lead back to you.